We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Paul, back with you, and so is Professor Rachel Pelos from the University of St. Thomas School of Law. Dr. Pelos, thank you and welcome back.
Thank you. It's always good to be with you.
Well, you haven't heard the questions yet. No. You're quick on your feet, so I have no doubt that you'll be able to field these questions. I'm just curious to get your reaction. Judge Cahill's findings of fact related to Derek Chauvin. Some of these factors that might, in fact, produce a longer sentence for Mr. Chauvin. What stood out to you?
Well, the government won most of its arguments. And so the judge did find that aggravating factors were present and were properly applied. Including because he said that Derek Chauvin acted with particular cruelty, and he highlighted facts from the trial that he cited in support of that finding, including that Derek Chauvin committed this crime in front of minor children, from whom we heard, of course, during the trial, including that Derek Chauvin committed this crime under his official authority while in a police uniform. And so most of the factors that the government was seeking to use to possibly enhance the sentence were applied. The only loss really was the judge declined to find that Mr. Floyd was a vulnerable victim. And I thought the government did make a case there that because he was prone on the sidewalk and handcuffed, having trouble breathing, that those could all go to a finding of vulnerability. But the judge in that situation did not apply that. I think in part because traditionally in the law, vulnerability is referring to, for example, very elderly people who are incapacitated, or children under the care of a trusted provider. And so we haven't seen it in situations like this. And I think this judge has already shown that he's not willing to extend the law beyond what he sees it as presently.
Right. Okay. Interested to hear your take on the trial for the other three ex-officers who were involved in the arrest and the subsequent death of George Floyd. That's been pushed back now to March of next year. Why did they push that back? What are the implications of that, Dr. Pelos?
That was interesting because we know that this judge has repeatedly expressed concerns about the timing or the announcement of other parallel events, and here he was concerned about the federal trial of all four officers on civil rights charges. And so apparently he believes that whole process is going to move very expeditiously, such that that trial could be wrapped up and the state trial could then follow on the heels of that. So I think there are two things to draw from that. One, Judge Cahill has repeatedly expressed frustration about things like the announcement of the settlement with the city of Minneapolis or politicians making comments about the trial. But two, he is concerned about events running parallel that he thinks could influence this. And so I think if anything, this will put more pressure on a Minneapolis jury if the verdict comes back with a finding against all four officers in the federal trial.
Okay. I also want to get your take on domestic terrorism. I mean, I think all of us, our lives changed on September 11th, 2001, 9/11, an acknowledgement of Al-Qaeda, and then we had ISIS. You know, a lot of concern and trillions of dollars spent trying to protect America, the homeland, when in fact, the Attorney General Merrick Garland says that white supremacists are now the number one domestic terror threat. Can you expand on that and the implications of that?
Yeah, so the Attorney General did clarify that he was referring to domestic terror threats, and he,
right.
And Secretary Mayorkas, as I think you're suggesting, both acknowledged that international terrorism and jihadi still pose a threat to the United States, but they are very focused on domestic terrorism. And I do think this is interesting, given that the Attorney General was a lead prosecutor on the Oklahoma City bombing, which, of course, was a prime tragic case involving domestic terrorism. But it also fits with what you and the media have been reporting for the past couple of years with the surge in white supremacist activity and threats, online recruitment, attempts to infiltrate law enforcement and the military, that have also been supported by FBI studies. And so this is very concerning given the increasing diversity of our society. And to hear the Attorney General acknowledge it, but also talk about the federal government's plans to fight domestic terrorism, I think was reassuring to many people who've been concerned about a commensurate law enforcement reaction to the increased threat.
Right, the threat from within. Last question, Professor Pelos, curious to get your take on the ouster of Representative Liz Cheney from Wyoming. She was the number three ranking Republican in Congress. And basically, she would not pledge fealty to Donald Trump. She would not acknowledge that the election was, in fact, stolen. I'm curious what you think is happening right now within the GOP. It seems like the Republican Party is going through convulsions in terms of what it wants to be. What does it stand for? Liz Cheney said, look, you can't argue with the Constitution and the rule of law. And so asking me not to talk about Donald Trump, I can't go there. And I simply can't acknowledge that the election was stolen. Do you think she's going to get the last laugh in this? Is a split imminent within the GOP? Could there be a third party?
Well, I think if this had happened a couple of months ago when the threat... Let me repeat that. I think if this had happened a couple of months ago when there was first an attempt to oust her from leadership, really in the aftermath of the January 6th attack on the Capitol, I think this could have been more directly tied to her criticism of President Trump and the election results. I think given the fact that the party now has had time to think about this, and although party leadership wants to move on to a more proactive agenda beyond Donald Trump, and Liz Cheney just keeps talking about Donald Trump, which many Republicans don't think is a winning formula. This is not just about President Trump. It's about getting the leadership on a united, having a united for the leadership and having everybody talk about the agenda beyond Donald Trump. I think some people are just, I think there are a lot of Republicans who are just exhausted of talking about Donald Trump, but they want to move on.
But I have to follow up because there's a train of thought right now that, what, look, 70% of Republicans are still very much interested in what Donald Trump has to say, and many of them are hoping that he will weigh in on the midterms in 2022 and possibly even run again in 2024. Does this still leave the door open to Donald Trump taking another crack at the presidency?
Well, the door is always open as long as he's living and breathing, but I think the most recent polls of registered Republicans have shown that well under 50% would favor him as a candidate for president. So it's one thing to be an opinion leader. It's one thing to admire him as somebody who takes the fight to the other side, but it's another thing to say he should continue to be the leader of the party. And I think given his ban from the social media platforms that were so successful in getting out his message, it's going to be a very different ballgame if President Trump chooses to run and challenge whoever the Democratic nominee might be in a couple of years, including if that's President Biden.
Okay. Professor Rachel Pelosi, St. Thomas School of Law, thank you for your perspective and already looking forward to our next chat. You be safe out there.
Thank you so much. Have a good afternoon.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.